Here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Playoff baseball, just what you might expect. Fred Fowler, I imagine, enjoyed it from his poker table or wherever
sure.
he might be today. I'm sure he was very distracted from his nuts flop or whatever he happened to be, whatever table he's on, as the Astros lose to Kansas City. Matt Jackson sitting in for Fred Fowler alongside A.J. Hoffman here on the Blitz. 5-4 the final from Kauffman Stadium today as the Royals even up the best of five series with Houston at a game apiece. Nothing too much to complain about. It's really just baseball. The Royals do not make a lot of mistakes, and they were able to take advantage of a couple from the Astros, probably most notably a base-running blunder by one Carlos Gomez in the ninth inning, picked off first base.
As a pinch runner.
As a pinch runner. Got to believe that's a kangaroo court fine of some type, but all things considered, I can't imagine very many Astro fans disappointed as they got the win last night pretty easily and pretty comfortably over Kansas City. Most surprising thing to me, really, this whole week, I don't know how Colby Rasmus sold his soul to the devil, but all of a sudden, he cannot miss anything. And if you throw a fastball, he is hitting it a long, long way. And if he's going to continue to produce at this level, really, all the Astros have to do is to get one of either Correa or Springer going on a consistent basis, and they should have enough offense to win this type of series because they're going to have the major advantage on the mound, I think, the next two nights. I certainly think Keuchel on Sunday, and I like McCullers at home. His ERA is around 150 at home this year. I think you got to like the Astros' chances in this one, but they've got to get to him early because if it's a close game in the sixth and beyond, I mean, it's you were mentioning earlier off the air how absurd it is that the Royals can lose a guy like Greg Holland, and not that they're better, but they're not any worse off. That's
they don't
for
miss
sure.
a bit. They don't miss much because they've, and that's one of the things that they that's what got them to the World Series last year is they like you mentioned earlier, they don't make mistakes, and they shorten the game for their starting pitchers. And this is not a team that's got a ton of great starters. You know, I mean, they probably pitched their best guy tonight, and he got knocked around a little bit. But for last season and this, I mean, they've got sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning guys that, you know, Kelvin Herrera would close for the Astros. You know, Ryan Madsen is bringing heat still. And that's a guy who looked like he was going to be out of baseball, and he's been rejuvenated there. And, you know, they just, their bullpen is arguably the best in baseball, and the Astros, at least over the last few months, has been one of the worst.
It has been, but I don't think that's why they're going to lose this series if they do lose this series.
Well, I think that's why they lost the game that they lost today. Kazmir pitched way better than you could have expected. I mean, I for one, was saying, oh, I'm just fourth at this game if you're throwing Kazmir on the road. He actually gave him a pretty good chance to win.
Well, it's a tie game. You can make an argument that Mariznick misplays the ball. It should have been a single, and it's turned into a triple. And who knows what happens from there. But, you know, those are the things that are going to happen. I think
Oliver
this is,
Perez, who has one job, which is to get out left-handed hitters, goes into the game and walks one and lets another one get a base hit.
But you can't pitch Tony Sipp every single inning, unfortunately. Unless you're going to go against the grain from a matchup standpoint and just pitch a right-hander because you feel like you can't afford to have Oliver Perez out there. Look, he had a bad outing tonight. He got the job done Tuesday night against the Yankees. These type of things are going to happen. You got to pitch your whole guy. They can't hide everyone. They mercifully hid Qualls, but they can't hide everyone. And outside of Keuchel, you can't expect anybody to be going 8-9 innings deep either. But I think the Astros are still a slight favorite in this series. They're going to be heavy favorites on Sunday.
And then they just got to win
one
more.
Chances. I don't. Despite what the record would tell you, there isn't much difference between the Astros and Kansas City from a talent standpoint. I mean, I don't. I think if you,
I think Kansas City has better. I guess I want to say hitters, but I mean the Astros have more power. Kansas City's got better hitters. They're going to have more guys on base typically. They don't strike out as much. I think the Astros have better starting pitching, and then I think the Royals have a better bullpen. I mean, but it all kind of evens out.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does. It's a coin flip series.
I don't think one team is significantly better than the other. What the Astros do have that the Royals don't is
an ace.
They've got an ace, and the Kansas City had one last year with James Shields, and you know it's important to have one of those guys. They thought they'd gotten one with Johnny Cueto, and he hasn't quite been that. So they're going to have to, I mean, as much as they were having to grind out games last season, it's going to have to be even more so this year. But case in point, they were just able to do it.
But you have Keuchel, McCullers, and McHugh the next three games. I think you have to like your chances for the Astros. McHugh looked very good last night, and if you need him in a deciding game five, he's proven he's can go in there and win in Kansas City. That being said, I expect the Astros to close this out the next two games at home. I think they've been the best home team in the majors. The crowd's going to be electric. Major League Baseball apparently is actually going to let them close the roof, which should make for pretty raucous environment at Minute Maid Park. And Lord knows that Houston needs a raucous environment in at one of its professional sports venues. That certainly was not the case last night. Over at NRG Stadium, as the Texans fall to 1-4, somehow managed to lose to Matt Hasselbeck, somehow managed to make the AARP eligible Frank Gore and Andre Johnson look like productive NFL football players. You know, Andre Johnson, you know, I'll wait and see on him. Frank Gore's looked terrible so far this year, and I don't know if that's him or if that's their offensive line. But either way, the Texans made those guys look like they were in their prime last night. This team has absolutely no clue right now. They appear to have not a whole lot of talent, and you have to question at this point the coaching staff that the Texans have put together. George Godsey probably would not be a professional offensive coordinator with any other franchise right about now. And Romeo Crennel, for all of the pedigree, really hasn't done a whole lot when he hasn't been with the New England Patriots. But the defense sucks. The defense it sucks right now. I don't care if it's talent scheme or whatever you think it is, but they don't make plays. They didn't come close to forcing a turnover last night. And there's just not there's not one phase of the game for the Texans to hang their hats on. And that was it's amazing how that Indianapolis is going to run away with this division, and they're not a good football team. Indianapolis is not a good football team.
They're not, but they are better. I mean, they're 3-0 in division, and they haven't. I don't know when's the last time they lost a division game. It's been like 3 years, right?
It's like 18 out of 19 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And if you're losing to a Matt Hasselbeck led Colts team. You're not
getting driven on. Like you're legitimately giving up 80-yard drives to Matt Hasselbeck.
We can't take the Texans seriously. I mean, this is
and why
they are
you?
Jags Titans level. Like I think
Bill O'Brien really ought to do a mea culpa and say, you know what, I owe Houston an apology for saying that you ought to respect my quarterbacks. That was such a bullcrap line. And now for him to come back today and say when asked who his starting quarterback was going forward, he said, we're going in with Brian Hoyer, but we're going to treat this as 11 one-game seasons. Come on, that's just stupid.
That's a bad thing
to say. That's a cop-out.
Listen, I think Ryan Mallett is broken mentally. I think that's a guy who...
He's not a good teammate.
He's not the most mentally strong guy to begin with. And then when things aren't going his way, it just gets worse.
If you gave a crap and you're Ryan Mallett and you really cared that much about being out there, why would you be anticipating leaving the field at the end of the first half?
Exactly.
That's just stupid.
Oh, he thought the clock was going to run out, according to his dad. And let's not be too harsh, because Ryan Mallett's grandma might be listening and she might cry based on what we say. No, I think that this guy is I think he's kind of just lost mentally, and he's not mentally strong enough to play this game at a high level.
They're a Jalen Strong Hail Mary away from putting up 13 against just a piss poor defense. They can't run the football, whether it's their offensive line or Arian Foster still not being up to snuff. And they can't be taken seriously. They cannot be taken seriously this season, and they really can't be taken seriously as a franchise when they continue to refuse to invest resources at the quarterback position. It doesn't matter who plays quarterback. Neither guy is an option, and nothing that they do schematically leads you to believe that even if they had a halfway decent quarterback that they would be all that productive.
I guess if you want to find a bright spot for the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins looks like he is that. Had a really nice game. 11 catches, 169 yards. That's a good day.
I mean, I don't want to take anything away from him, but his stats just feel hollow to me. They're not.
A lot of his stats come when the game is out of reach,
right?
And that's what almost all of the quarterbacks, like almost all of Hoyer's stats, have come when the game's out of reach. Almost all of Mallett's have come when the first game was out of reach.
Do something when the game is 0-0. Do something when the game is on the line. Yes, they're great, and at the end of the year, if he ends up with 100 catches and 1,400 yards, you'd say, oh, wow, DeAndre Hopkins had a great year. But if it ultimately results in a 4-12 season,
it doesn't matter.
Who gives a flip?
Yeah, you know, and another thing, when we talk, I was talking about Ryan Mallett being mentally weak. DeAndre Hopkins, as good a game as he had, very costly bonehead penalty.
Throwing the ball in the face of the DB.
Throwing the ball at a guy when you just don't. And I mean, you know better than that. This isn't a rookie anymore. I mean, this is a guy who you're looking at as one of your offensive leaders. And to have a penalty like that is at a time like that is just unacceptable. So I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know how to fix this thing. The easy thing to say is they have to get a quarterback before anything is going to work. But a lot of the things that we expected to work aren't working. J.J. Watt was almost silent last night.
Can the number one overall draft pick do something at some point? Jadeveon Clowney, are we going to give him a pass? You know what? If you're healthy enough to play, you're healthy enough to make a play.
Yeah.
And you're now five games in to your second campaign, and he hasn't come close to touching a quarterback.
He has not. And he should be, especially when teams are efforting so much to take JJ out of things.
And we can sit here and say, well, there wasn't a quarterback that they liked. But you know what? If you told me there was a quarterback that was good enough to be an Andy Dalton, it's better than having a second-rate defensive end right now.
Well,
if you had Andy Dalton on this football team, they'd probably be competitive.
Every week I track the progress of Derek Carr versus Xavier Suafilo.
Oh, God.
And I don't think Derek Carr
How do you think that's going to turn out this week?
I don't think Derek Carr is a world beater.
Where was XSF?
Well, he got out there a little while, and he was a big reason why the sneak on 3rd-and-1 failed, because he just got blown up. They're just a mess. And, do I think Derek Carr's, going to be the next Tom Brady? No, but I think he's a serviceable player.
But in principle, you have to invest at that position, and
they haven't chosen not to.
And don't get me, Tom Savage was the guy, and we put him on IR. Tom Savage was an average college quarterback who probably has no future as a starter in the NFL. And if you thought he had a future, then you wouldn't have IR'd him, and you wouldn't have put your IR designation to return on a third-string tight end that sucks.
You know, and when we're talking about the defensive guys and having – bad days, and another guy that I won't let get. I mean, there was a couple penalties in the secondary. One where, just a blatant shove out of bounds, like shoving a guy out of bounds before he can have before the ball's even close to being there, and then acting like, oh, I can't believe you're calling a penalty on me. And
how embarrassing though for Ryan Mallett to like walk back out on the field like you were going back in there.
And then
it was like Gene Hackman in Hoosiers. Telling Ray, my team's on the field.
Yeah.
Say, get your ass back on the bench. My team's on the field.
And I guess a guy that we shouldn't leave out when we're bashing the underperforming defense is, if you look at Houston's defensive stats for the day on the box score, you will not see the name Vince Wilfork anywhere there, which means...
Well, he was getting blocked repeatedly. There were huge gaps up the middle. That was Frank Gore's favorite place to run, was to the left or the right of Vince Wilfork.
And at no point was Vince Wilfork able to get an arm out and knock Frank Gore down, because he is credited with zero tackles on the day. And it was just the one chance they had where it looked like they intercepted the ball. There's a penalty for a stupid chop block, just stupid penalties all around. So
13 penalties.
Yeah. And you can't, when you're a bad team, you can't overcome that. There's no way you can overcome that. And like you said, the Colts are not a great team. And without Andrew Luck, they're not even a good team.
No.
But they're better than the Texans.
But they've managed to eke past the crap fest that is the rest of the AFC South. And Unless Marcus Mariota is going to become extremely consistent, it's really hard to imagine any of the rest of that division staying in the mix.
Well, listen, for the past several years, the discussion has been, are the Texans good enough to beat the Colts? Are they good enough to win the division from the Colts this year? I think this year we're looking at, are the Texans better than the Jaguars or the Titans? The Colts aren't even in the discussion with this team.
And I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but people that are excited about getting a top draft pick in this class.
This is not a great one. You know, to have one.
You can sit here and 2 years ago, Bill O'Brien probably would have loved to have Christian Hackenberg, but he has been absolute hot garbage the last 2 years at Penn State. Jared Goff at California probably will get some run, but man, that guy is small and doesn't look like he can take much of a hit. I just think it to be in year three of a rebuild and not have identified a quarterback, that's an indictment on that's not just on Rick Smith. Is Rick Smith a problem? Yeah, but that's Bill O'Brien's choice. Bill O'Brien chose to have the quarterbacks that he has on this roster, and that's a major reason why they're 1-4.
Yeah.
That is a major reason. That's not the only reason, but it is the most identifiable reason why they are 1-4.
It was a big risk, and if one of these guys had outperformed everything they've ever done, which, by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick last year outperformed everything he'd ever
done.
Ryan
Fitzpatrick is better than those two guys, but that's still, that's like choosing between Vienna sausage, bologna.
And Spam.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the risk is, I mean, neither one of these guys had, if they perform at the best that we've seen from them before or worse, it's a disaster. And that's the situation we're in now. It's a disaster.
The assumption that Ryan Mallett, based on one game last year, was the guy just seems to be really just short-sighted on this franchise's part. We will be hanging with you until 7 o'clock, so more time to get in on what we saw from a baseball playoff standpoint, as well as the Texans. And hey, there's a college football game tomorrow on ESPN 97.5. We may get into a little bit of that as well.
Ugh.
Matt Jackson sitting in for Fred Fowler along with A.J. Hoffman right here on the Blitz.
Texas-Oklahoma college football's Red River Rivalry, 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, join Raheel Saturday for College Game Day Party presented by Coors Light at Luke's Ice House. Feature game of the day is Texas versus Oklahoma. Starting early on the deck, beginning at 11 a.m. for the kickoff. Catch a cold silver bullet with us and register to win tickets to see Texas take on Kansas State with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Coors Light. Hey, can I give a free quick plug to a little charity event I'm putting on like in a month?
Sure.
So you like to gamble, right?
I do.
All right. I've got a poker tournament and a little casino night that is benefiting children living with autism. November 6th, it's 4 weeks from tonight over at Sweetwater Country Club, 7 o'clock p.m. If you'd like more information, just go to hope43.org. That's my day job these days. I'm helping kids out in Fort Bend County. So appreciate that. Hope43.org. You have any feel whatsoever for whether we'll have a competitive game at the Cotton Bowl tomorrow?
I don't think it's going to be a competitive game. I know that often in these rivalry games, when one team looks really good and one looks really bad, the bad team will show up and give it their all. But the thing I've seen missing the most from this Texas team is they just don't compete. The effort doesn't seem there. They don't seem to really even want it. And when they talk in the post game things and stuff like that, and at media day on Monday, they all say the right things, and it sounds like, oh, we've got to start competing hard. But they on Saturdays, they just don't seem to do it. They don't seem to
do you
really
see a
want
base?
It.
Do you see a baseline level of talent?
I see a lot of young talent. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's up to what they had like in 05 through, or really even like 03 through 2010. I think it's a ways off from that. But I see the kind of guys that, you know, maybe you can build around, but they're all freshmen. You know, you don't have a base of juniors and seniors that you've built into something. And, you know, they're okay at quarterback. I think Hurd got everybody excited with his first performance. And he's just kind of been ho-hum since then because, you know, the things around him are very limited. And once you get some film on a guy, it's easier to shut him down. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last weekend, but I don't think it's going to be very good either.
Well, it'll be a rough one, you would think, for the Longhorns, but
17-point dogs.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the rivalry component has got to be what's kept that number down a little bit, because I would have thought it would have been a little bit higher than that. But we'll have that one for you here on ESPN 97.5.
I think you're probably going to be able to go get corny dogs by about mid-third quarter. You're going to feel comfortable going to get a deep-fried something if you're there as a Texas fan.
You think Longhorn fans still come, or are they selling their tickets?
There'll be – I was reading today, there's going to be less Longhorn fans than there are OU fans. Normally that's one of the cool things about that game. And
sure,
I've been up there, I guess, probably 9 or 10 times, and it's one of my favorite games to go to because of that split down the middle. From what I understand, it's going to be, you know, 60 to 65% crimson on Saturday, which is it's kind of sad, but at the same time, this team has given you no reason to drive up to Dallas and watch them play.
Do you think the result tomorrow is material to Charlie Strong's future at the University of Texas?
I think a win tomorrow could buy him time, because that's one thing I will say is if you win that game, it covers up a lot of ugly crap.
Can they get their guy, though? Because the assumption was they could get their guy. Well, like last time it was Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh, and they couldn't get either one of those guys.
Okay, here's what I'll say. You can't get Nick Saban, more than likely. I guess you could throw some kind of Hail Mary. You offer him, you know, stadium naming rights or something. I don't know. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Harbaugh. Let's take those guys off the table. Who else do you want? Who's the guy that's like a slam dunk, sure thing? This is the guy who's going to turn Texas football around.
I hate to say it, but it might be Tom Herman, because I would hate to see him leave U of H.
But he's not a guaranteed thing. I mean, listen. We've seen, what, 4 games? It's been impressive, but...
Well, did anybody think Ohio State was winning a national championship last year with a third-string quarterback?
No.
And Urban Meyer wasn't calling plays.
No.
And nobody knows. And this guy recruits like... Charlie Strong hasn't shown me that he can recruit is the problem. They appear to have a recruiting issue.
Yeah.
And Herman has that background. I don't think Chip Kelly's taking the Texas job.
That's the one name that people keep mentioning, that if he were to take that job,
I think he would go back to Oregon before he would go to Texas.
Yeah. And if the stars do line up for Chip Kelly, that's a guy I could see being like kind of a savior for him. But again, I mean, you're talking about throwing up a Hail Mary and hoping Chip Kelly says yes. I think Herman's an interesting guy, and it's not the worst thing in the world for UH to become a known breeding ground for bigger programs head coaches. You know, that's not the worst thing that can happen to you.
You can't see him getting any of the other in-state guys. Patterson, Briles, just can't see
Texas
them leaving.
Texas wouldn't take Briles anyway.
You don't think?
No. They're too image conscious. They really are. I mean, it's sad. He could fix them probably, but they won't do it.
There is a little bit of a sleaze factor right now with him. Abbreviated show for you thanks to Astros Baseball.
Thanks a lot, Astros.
So hopefully Monday, Fred and Age will be back talking about an Astros NLDS victory over the Kansas City Royals. Everybody have a great weekend. Texas OU tomorrow on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.